Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 51, I Saw the Lord. Today is Friday, June 13th, 2008. Yes, it is Friday the 13th. I hope you have a doubly good day. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You can call me on the comment line if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions about the podcast. That number is 1-715-808-0318. Be sure to go to the blog, and there you'll find the show notes, and you'll be able to look up the scriptures. I have links to the scriptures in the message, and that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Also, go to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. In the process of redoing the website, so you will see a skeletal website, just one page, until we get that done. What a message. Today's message is very long, 1 hour and 20 minutes, plus this intro. Feel free to fast forward on the intro. The message is Isaiah's vision when he said, I saw the Lord. It's taken from Isaiah 6, 5 through 9, and Isaiah 6 and 13. Anyways, check out Isaiah number 6. Isaiah's vision. He was immediately convicted and said, I am a man of unclean lips. He was also commissioned by God to go. And the message is just really, really good. And Pastor Paul brings together a couple of different things. First of all, he talks about you are convicted, and then you have a commission, and then you're consecrated. And so listen for those points. Also, he talks about the grace of God makes you ready. Many times you feel like you're not ready to do something, but the grace of God will make you ready, and that we are warring against spirits and principalities and powers. So those are our battles. He also, this is so good because he compares the Old and the New Testament. He compares the remnant of Israel, the 10%, with the remnant in us as being a mobile temple of the Lord, and how there is 10% of us that is kept and 90% of us is done away with, so that we are made to be able to serve the Lord. Just a really good comparison. You're going to just love this message. It's really good. It's long. One of the things about the message, the sound is going to kind of, Pastor Paul, in certain parts, he does talk very softly. So I found myself just turning it up quite a bit. So you have to kind of turn it up, turn it down, and all of that. But that's part of the message. But it's really good. You're going to love it. Talks about dead wood, dead branches, how they need to be cut off, about Jewish history and the remnant of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the peace of the church. Talks about the incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed dwells inside of you when you receive the Lord. Really, really good. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, so in the future, the podcasts come to you. And again, you're going to want to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast. This Sunday is Father's Day. I hope you have a fantastic Father's Day. And I just want to say to all you dads out there, God bless you and have a great day. Come back here for next Friday's message. On the way again, number 3. That is going to be next Friday's message. So I want you to come back here for next Friday's message. Until then, have a great Father's Day and have a great week. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, I Saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord today. I needed $20,000 and I got $18,000. Then I saw some more money come in, so it was over that. I saw the Lord. I mean, if the Lord is high and lifted up, you're going to see the Lord. But if you got the Lord way down here on your level of dryness, or our level, I'm saying, I'm talking to radio audiences too. For the most part, I think the people in here are pretty damp. Not all wet, but damp. And I saw the Lord. Now we have another month, and we have another 3-month period to go through, another season, I call it. Where then that you have to dare to believe God. See, and you have to be prepared for those things that are coming on. And you just have to go right on. You're working, a lot of times you'll be working with people that are in unbelief. And they'll be depressed, and they'll be down, and that happens. And don't say anything to them, but just continue on being that example. And you can look like a fool. Then they're going to call you a fool. Well, you know, how can you be so foolish? It isn't going to work, or whatever like that. Well, we just can't possibly do this thing, I mean, you know. But if you'll stand in that dry time and see the Lord, you know, the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You've got to see the Lord in these things, and this is the experience of Isaiah. I think it should be then in every disciple's experience. The secret of all Isaiah's power was he saw the Lord. I mean, lay in this vision in the temple. I saw the Lord. See, the Bible teaches us that we are the temples of the living God. I mean, that's Christ living in you, setting up residence within you, Residence Square. And that vision comes from within. Now, Isaiah had an outward vision. But our vision, and man without a vision, perishes. Some would call it a mirage. That's better than nothing. Gives you something to go for. But it comes from within. Are you hearing this? What was outwardly in the Old Testament is then inwardly in the New Testament. The answer is within you. That's where it's at. Now, you counsel with people and you ask them and say, well, would you please tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you, God, and He will help you if you tell the truth, and if you don't tell the truth, He won't help you at all. And just bear what's in your heart and tell the truth. And leave all the pride out of it, and leave all these things out of it, and just tell the truth. Then after they tell the truth, God, you're going to see the Lord then. Then you're going to see the Lord, and God is going to give you a vision. See, but with that iniquity in your heart, God isn't even going to hear you. You got to tell the truth. I saw the Lord. So I think he had conviction here. Woe, he says, is me. I am undone, was the cry. I am brought on by the sense of a sinfulness. This brings it on me, and I see myself, and I see myself before God's holiness. Now when you bear yourself to the Lord and you confess this fault to the Lord is there. The iniquity is out there and it's destroyed, and now you see God's holiness, but you also see yourself. So you got conviction in Isaiah 6 and 5. See, we see ourselves next to God and in His life, and then we say, woe is me. See, being honest with God brings you to God. Then you have to say, woe is me. You don't have to have somebody else say, woe is you. And it sort of was a confession too, a man of unclean lips. Have you ever gotten next to God and found out you had unclean lips? Well, unclean lips, maybe you had something bad to say about somebody, or you thought something. It says, a broken and a contrite heart is precious to the Lord, in Isaiah 6 and 5. Then I believe he had a cleansing. I believe he was purged after confession, after a flying seraph came down his way and cleansed his lips with a hot coal, it says in the Bible, from off the altar in Isaiah 6 and 7. Then I believe one more thing happened, a consecration. Here I am, send me. Now he was ready to go. And then we have the commission. And God says, go. God's command was go in Isaiah 6 and 9. So we have the conviction, the confession, the cleansing, and the consecration. Here I am, send me. I'm all ready to go. I got it all up front. I feel free. And then he gets the commission, go. Let me tell you something. When the Lord tells you to go, there are going to be a whole lot of people that are saying, are you sure the Lord spoke to you on that thing? Let me tell you something. If God tells you to go and you go, it's going to work out. So here is a man then that's ready. Here is a man then that's qualified. And here is a man then that's willing. And who made him that way? The grace of God. God makes you ready. And he makes you ready for conviction, and he makes you ready for confession, and he makes you ready for a cleansing, and he makes you ready for a consecration, and he makes you ready to receive go. So it's only by the grace of God, then, that you're ready, that you're qualified, and that you're even willing to go. Well, I'm willing to go, but how did you get there? See, different things in your life have to happen to shake you up. Well, do you mean I have to become unclean? You are unclean next to God. Is there anything that's really, really clean next to God? No, I mean, when you get next to God by an open confession, the Lord, send me. Lord, I'm convicted. Lord, I'm going to confess. Lord, I need a cleansing. I need to be consecrated to get into duty. When you get into that activity, God doesn't throw up everything to you. But when you're ready for that particular job, he will say, go, an imperfect vessel. And he will say, go. And you know when you receive your healing? Right in the middle of your go. Now sometimes people question, well, I'm not quite ready yet. Wait a minute, I got one black sock on and I got one gray one on. I mean, I can't go out like this. Go! Yeah, but this person over here doesn't want me to go, or that person over there doesn't want me to go. So how many are hearing this? But I can't go. I'm not ready to go yet. God, you know me. You just made your confession. God isn't going to dilly-dally around with you. It's just an open confession. And after that confession is made, forgiveness comes in. The hot coals get on your lips and you find out, woe is me. And you just go ahead and you don't sit there and diddly-dumps. You just go. Because if God waited for every vessel to get perfect, who would ever go? And if you wait for everybody to tell you that you're perfect, you're never going to hear it. In Isaiah 6 and 13, but yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten. Woo. You mean there's only one tenth left, and it's going to be burnt, it's going to be eaten? As a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, when they lose them. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And so here we have Isaiah, aware of his own sinfulness. And are you? How many are aware of their own sinfulness? Well, hey, I mean, you got to be aware of it. And he goes ahead and he confesses so. And then The grace of God cleanses him, and then the grace of God makes him ready, and then our God says, go. It gives him the command. Now, when your kid comes up and he says, well, I did this, and I did it, I'm sorry. Oh, okay then, you're forgiven. Go to school. Or go out and play. Huh? Isn't that the way you do it? When an open confession from a child's heart, and he comes all on his own, and he's convicted by the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit that's in that house, which is of God, of course, and he comes up and says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I was real naughty. Do you realize you were naughty? Yes. You're going to do it again? No. Okay, you can go out and play then. You don't send them to school for 15 years to make sure that they really sinks into their head. You reward them right away. People won't reward them right away. The neighbors will say, oh, they let that little beast out of the house again. He's loose! But no one knows that little guy's heart but the father in that house. And then he asks a question, Isaiah does. He asks a question, comes like this. He says, Lord, how long? And I've asked that question. How long? How many have asked that question? It's kind of like having a real toothache. Oh, how long? Right, Randy? Oh, how long? Doesn't it feel good when it stops hurting? God, that feels good. Then you really appreciate living. Whew. How long will the people? And he's talking to the Lord now because he's opened himself up to God. How long will they be impenitent? How long, Lord, will your judgment continue? God says like this, till I lay waste and destroy the cities and their inhabitants, till the land be utterly desolate. Now that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, that's what happens inside of you during the dry time. Well, the kingdom of God is within you. Listen. Till I lay waste and destroy the cities. All right, within you. There is a government that's been set up. And there's got to be a tearing down so the kingdom of God can be built up. And there's a war on the inside. And I'm talking in the New Testament, I'm talking in the spiritual realm now versus talking in the old and the natural. Destroy the cities and their inhabitants. Destroy every demon, but first the demon has to be what? Revealed. Sometimes you can just walk over to a person and say, would you mind telling me your name? And they'll sit just like this. That person needs deliverance. You're not warring flesh and blood. You are warring against the principalities and the powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. You're dealing with spirits. And you might even marry. And you get married and you start dealing with spirits. And this person that marries you deals with your spirits. And you might say to one another, well, what kind of a frame of mind are you in today? What kind of a spirit are you in today? How many hearing this? Are you hearing this on the radio? See, you got to realize that you are warring principalities and powers and spiritual wickednesses. Oh, woe is me, I am found out. You ever get found out? Oh, until the land be utterly desolate. And so inwardly we're going through these things. God is setting up his kingdom. And then God adds for his comfort, yet it shall be a tenth. I'm going to leave one tenth of you. Now, I kind of wondered about this, but I've always heard the world say you only use one tenth of your mind. Did you ever hear that? Well, that's all God's going to allow you to use. Use the other nine tenths. Man, there would be nothing left standing in this world today. Ooh. But I believe it also happened because when Nebuchadnezzar carried away all of Jerusalem, there was only one tenth left. None remained but the poor people of the land. And when you are delivered, it's only the poor portions of you, the beggarly, beggarly poor spirit, it says. God wants that beggarly, 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 contrite heart, beggarly spirit. God will in no wise cast out. That's all that's left to you. You're utterly destroyed. You're in desolation. You're in a desert. And there's only one-tenth of you left, the humble part that will listen to God, the poor part. Now listen. How many agree with what I'm saying? It's the truth. And these one-tenth, they were left there by the captain of the guard to be the vine dressers and the husbandmen, the workers. Now, who do you suppose is the workers in this land? The humble people. The ones that will do the work. The contrite heart. The ones that are left. Hasn't that happened down here on the north side? One tenth. And the tenth that remains are being dealt with. Ooh. It's only a small remnant of the people, and it's only a small remnant of you that God can use. One tenth of you. The part that will listen. See, if there's 90% you there, you aren't going to listen. You're going to be rebellious. Isn't that right? Then you have to send you to boys' schools, and then they have to lock you up, spank you with rubber hoses. Till there's only one-tenth left of you. Did you ever wonder about that? Oh, God, everything is going wrong. That's the time to say, praise the Lord. There's only one-tenth of me left, and I believe God is going to use me because I am feeling so miserable and wretched and poor. And God will use me because I'm going to listen to the gospel. There's nothing else to listen to. There's nothing else that'll feed my beggarly, beggarly, poor spirit. I need the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we're on the upswing and we got that 90%, whoa, wow, look out, boy, we're spiritual giants. We're just, move over! I got a teaching for you. Huh? Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. And then he goes on, a small remnant, that's only a small remnant, one-tenth. A small remnant, and they were nearly destroyed too. The small remnant was. What do you mean you only got one-tenth and that's going to be destroyed? No, what God is saying here is that one-tenth will have many trials. That one-tenth will have perils. And yet the Bible says, Isaiah shall not be destroyed, for it shall be as the teal tree, even as the oak tree. Isn't that encouraging? Now the body of Christ, you're seeing one-tenth that's going to remain. I'm not saying they're not saved, but one-tenth that are going to remain. And then then we can talk of you as an individual, and the kingdom of God is within you. 90% of you is destroyed, and there's only one-tenth of you left, the one-tenth that will listen, the one-tenth of your brain, the one-tenth of your spirit, the one-tenth of your soul power, the one-tenth of you that will listen. And then God says that one-tenth is going to have trials. Why, if it doesn't have trials, it isn't going to do anything, because it's going to be sitting there, no, I'm just a little thing, I'm only one-tenth. Only one-tenth. What can I do against these Philistines? What can I do against this? And the inward in the kingdom of God working in you is the same way in the body of Christ. And let's get it all in perspective here. But do you understand what I'm saying? And so this one-tenth then goes through trials and persecutions to see if it's real. Well, did you ever stop to figure it out? That happened in Gideon's army. Just a remnant remained, and those 300 were tested and tried. Well, how much can a body take? My God. Rejoice. You have been chosen for a work. Yet Israel shall not be destroyed. It shall be like the teal tree, even as the oak, because the substance is in them. And it says, when they cast their leaves, and there you are standing, there ain't a leaf on you. Man, let me tell you, there's an oak trees. They are the ugliest, stubbiest looking things when they ain't got no leaves. When winter comes and they're standing there all leafless, you ever been without leaves, spiritually speaking? And you've been stripped. How many hearing this? Totally stripped, no leaves. Maybe you've had somebody down there shaking the last leaves off. I'm not going to clean this mess up. I'm going to shake all leaves off. You're dirtying up the area. I want them all to come at the same time and get rid of them. And that one-tenth is going to have its day. When they cast their leaves, and this will be like the holy seed, the chosen remnant. And this shall be its substance of the children of Israel, even as it is unto us, when the land is stripped and barren as a desert. Man, it looked barren for us. We needed like this $20,000. And it came in. But in the meantime, there's a whole lot of stripping going on. You ain't going to look too good because you ain't got all them leaves covering you up. Everybody can see every little knotty, knotty little thing on you. You know what I mean? Every knotty. All your flaws are laid there and people are really looking. Now, man, they're looking. Oh, man. Notice that. Look at that. Isn't that an ugly old branch hanging out there? Oof. Like the teal tree, it goes on, and the oak tree. Don't the teal tree, from what I've read, it loses during hard times, it loses all its leaves. And the oak tree, when it gets a kind of wintry out, it starts to turn, all the leaves turn in there pretty for a while, and then they all fall off. But what's happening? They're not dead. They are not dead. Their substance is in the inside. And it's the same way with you and me. You go through a dry time. Everybody's saying, man, they don't even notice you. Now, isn't that a lovely tree? And they write poems about this tree. La da 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 da. You don't hear no poems or songs when they're laying out there all knobby and snarly. La da 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 da. Now they don't get up and do that with an old knobby tree that's going through a hard time in the winter. They bundle up and they go right on by it. Man, that's a nasty old tree. Huh? But the substance is on the inside. Nebuchadnezzar, it says, shall cut off all the leaves of the tree of Israel, take away the inhabitants, and only one-tenth will be left. And these shall almost be eaten up. Wow. And still, listen to it, the church of God and the Israelites of God never shall be destroyed. It shall be as the teal or the oak whose substance is in the inside when they cast, the Bible says, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. No matter how you feel about yourself, no matter what people tell you about yourself, those that are of God, born again, filled with the Spirit, I don't care what kind of a condition you are in, how low you are, how badly you think of yourself, there is still a substance within, and that substance within is the grace of God, and the grace of God is the seed, and the seed is Jesus Christ. And so first in this study here, in the application, let's say, of the text, let's apply it first to Jesus Christ, and then secondly to the church, and then thirdly to each one of us. And so now in the application to Jesus, and to the Jews, I should say. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as the teal tree, and as the oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And I'm speaking out of Isaiah 6 and 13. I started to read about the history of the Jew. Oh, man, they have a fantastic history. They have a very, I would say, noble heritage, a pedigree that goes back all the way in the loins of Abraham. Our history, what do we have? It's sort of a hidden in the gloom thing, isn't it? But there's, my Lord, what a history. Nebuchadnezzar did things to them, well, I tell you. Then there's only one-tenth left, and they were given over to slaughter, the one-tenth. And so you'd think that they all would perish, and yet up out of the ashes they rose. Second temple was built. And since then, over and over and over, you'll see the Jews coming up out of the ashes. Think about it. Look at the Jews. Look in history. 6 million. Utterly destroyed. Put in camps all over, even in Russia right now. Can't get out. Hated all over. Hated in Russia. Hated here. Hated there. Hated everywhere. Conquered and seized and destroyed. But yet not destroyed. Up out of the ashes, they seem to come all the time. Oh, and now they're in an age where the Jew is going to be hated like never before. And I'm talking about now us in the body of Christ, and we'll get into that later. We're grafted in. And Israel today, right now, is still noble. Spit on, hated, rejected of man, distressed, and still is written to the Jew first, and next then to the Gentile. And then it talks about, and then the Messiah will come. Of course, we know he's come already, but I'm talking about coming of the second coming of Christ, and the King of Jews is going to come. The Bible says your church shall never die. It shall never be extinct. The race, it says, of Abraham shall endure forever, and his seed as his many generations. It's going to go on and on and on and on. And so then I started to wonder, why is it then that the Jewish nation is so preserved? Well, it's in the text. Here it is. The holy seed is the substance thereof. God is keeping it alive. Did you know that the next big war coming, the Battle of Armageddon, that Russia will be completely destroyed? Did you know that when the Chinese and the Asians come over, and I'm talking about 200 million, that they will be utterly destroyed? Who is going to keep the seed alive, the incorruptible seed? I'm talking about God. Anyway, getting back to the tree, there's something within the tree mysterious and hidden and unknown. What preserves life in its own, everything outward tends to kill it, but inwardly it's still alive. Maybe you're feeling like that tonight. Maybe you're feeling like that on the radio, maybe listen to this tape. Maybe you're feeling like, hey, I'm dead. It can't be. You cannot be totally dead. You can be 90% feel that way, and that one-tenth can be left, and that can be suffering and smoldering, but it can't perish. Because the Bible says it will have everlasting life. Because everything outwardly tends to kill it anyway, doesn't it? And so, then what am I saying here? In the Jewish race, it seems to me there is an element which keeps it alive. And it's the same way with born-again people. We know what it is. It is the remnant, it says in the Bible, according to the election. Now listen, to the election of grace. God elected to give you grace. He had an election. God has a majority. I'm going to have an election. I elect it. I'm a majority. I elect to give you grace, and I'll keep you alive. I elect it. And those I'll also glorify, it goes on in the Bible. And so no matter how bad it's looked, there has always been a Hebrew found to hold the lamp of God. There's always been found a Jew that loved Jesus. It's only a few, the holy seed, that are the substance of a nation. The people, the word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love her. Pray for the peace of the church. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Want to prosper? And so then the Jewish nation is like the teal or the oak. Hallelujah. Whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. When they get rid of all their leaves, the substance is on the inside, the part you don't see, and God will keep them alive even though they look like they're dead. And so the holy seed shall be their substance that goes on thereof. Now let's look at the church of Christ, very much the same. That the Jewish nation is but a dim shadow, it says, but an emblem of the things to come. Now we're talking about Jesus. Now the church has had its trials. Trials from within and trials from without. Now a lot of times when a church has real trials, it's on the inside, isn't it? Isn't it? If a cancer's on the outside, it can't bother you too much. You can stay away from it, you can take precautions, but when it's on the inside, you're in trouble. Is that right? You're going to have days of blood. We're going to have days of persecution. You're going to have sad days of unbelief. You're going to have sad days of departing from the living God. You're going to have sad days that's going to break out all over. And I believe that we're seeing a time when much bitterness has erupted. Slander and fighting has sprung up and troubled many. And thereby they have been defiled, the Bible says. And yet, the winners have gone by on, and spring comes and they survive somehow. Did you ever wonder about that? You're running along the highway and you say, well, wonder when this tree is going to bud. I wonder if it'll happen. And all of a sudden you see sort of a different hue about the tree. And I watch for the trees to bud. It's an encouragement to me. I'll walk out here and I'll just look up and I'll take the thing down and I'll see like a little, kind of a little acorn on there. You know, it's a little brown and a little bit of green coming out. Oh, God, you're faithful. It's going to happen again. That old dead tree is going to come alive. It's the same way with you. It's the same way with you and you and you and all of you in here and you listening on the tape to this radio. You might feel like you're a reject, but I want to tell you one thing. God does not reject those that he's chosen. Maybe that one-tenth that's left to you in this winter time of the situation that you're in is under fire. But praise God for it. I just look up because springs are coming. But we survive onto greener times. And then we have these green times. Oh, God, they're so good. And we think they're never going to end. Oh, green door, huh? Green times. Oh, it's beautiful now. Everything is great. You hardly remember when you had a hard time. It's all green now. It looks nice out there. You think, I wonder if this summer will just last forever and ever and ever. It can't be that winter will come again. Look how nice it is. It can't be that I'll ever be in any kind of trouble again. The sun is always going to shine. People are always going to love me and say, good morning, mailman. Good morning, milkman. How are you? I put all your battles out there. And thank you so much. And here's a tip for bringing our mail by. And everything is going to be rosy-posy. Uh-uh. You're going to be carrying that mail bag, and winter time is going to come right on you. And winter times are going to be in your lives, too. They're going to be there, but glory to God, rejoice. Times of blooming are going to come, times of fragrance, times of prosperity. And then why is it that the church has been so preserved when she looks so dead? For the very same reason she's been preserved. Because in the very midst of her, with all the hypocrisies, with all the imposters, with all the sluggards, with all the lukewarmers, with all the backsliders, there is a chosen seed who are the substance thereof. Look at her now. Look at the church now. Satan has a church. Lukewarmers have a church. Homosexuals have a church. Humanists have a church. These sluggards have a church. The electric church people, they have a church. They just watch the boob tube, and they sit and eat crackers and drink Pepsi and burp and say, pass the, whatever, you know. And sit there with their bare feet and cut their toenails and listen to God, on TV. Sluggards are the very worst sins. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing it? How do we wait for it to get over so the next program will come on, the football game, and you don't miss it? Well, we had church, and we watched that, and then right after that, we can go right into the football game. Won't that be wonderful? Never even have to get dressed. They don't have to contend with nobody. The body of Christ, it's hard to come to church. You have to contend with people. Might be somebody near you don't like. Hearing it? You listen on the radio all the time, why don't you come down to church? Listen to tapes all the time. Never come to church. Come on down, suffer with us a while. Some of us get mean. That is prove your love. That right? Well, what got into her? What got into him? Oh, they're just having a hard time. They're in a dry spell. Don't pay no attention. That's the devil. Now, see, your devil's showing up. How many hearing this? Come on now. No collection. You can just sit there. You have to worry about no collection. Oh, I hate that. They come around those little knapsacks and they push them out, little felt bags. Huh? No parking your car. No walking to church, pinching the kids and fighting all the way in there. And absolutely no wife, I might add. Dead from the wig down. And many who come and don't hear the gospel, they just go to church and they go in some great big high steeple, nothing ever, do nothing church, and just sit there, never hear the gospel, and in 22 and a half minutes, minus 30 seconds, and out the door they go, hi, get in the car and cuss all the way home. Get out of my way! And get there and turn the TV on and sit there and catch the game. Some go to church and never even hear an altar call. Now we got the cable TV coming into the homes, the old snake. Oh, God. I mean, it's such a con. I mean, people cannot see a con coming. It takes one to know one, you know what I mean? If I was in that business, I'd be out there. I know I would. And they put these little old cables all over it, and then you say, well, man, they got a wire coming down their house. Well, let's get one. And then you get this wire in, you get that wire in, pretty soon you're getting the wrong stuff in your house. See? You got the toilet bowl right in your house, in the front room. Pretty soon you're going to see Satan giving classes on filth and refilth and perversion, mind control. Mind control over the TV, and people are going to pay for it. And I mean, they're going to pay for it, because now I don't know what you do, how much they pay for it now, but they're going to double it and triple it because they got them hooked. And then you won't have no free TV anymore. It'll all be paid. Companies go under these little names, see, and then all of a sudden NBC and all these other ones will say, they'll buy the, you know, they probably already own them, silent partners. And then after they get it all in there with this other name, then they'll say, we are the ones, and they'll raise up, see, and then you'll be paying for everything that comes in there. Well, isn't that a wonderful way of doing it? Well, do you think it'll happen that way? I know it'll happen that way. I mean, if I was in that kind of thing, that's the way I'd have it to happen. And then if you want to pay more, they'll just increase the tube. It'll be about that fat, the wires coming into your house. That's what it'll be in the end. And then you'll have to get your groceries through there, and you'll have to get your pair of shoes, size so-and-so. And inside there, they'll have a little eye in there. It'll be watching you. Well, just flip a little switch. You got that cable coming in here. Every word you're saying. Everything. You won't even be able to breathe. They'll be able to monitor your heartbeats. They'll be able to make their charts up. Now, he ain't got long to go. Let's take a survey on how many of these nuts are going to live. Prince of the power of the air is at work. All the guidelines are going to start to change from dirty to not dirty enough. Oh, was that ever a dirty film on? Oh, yeah, I seen a dirtier one than that. I mean, it was the filthiest thing I ever seen. I made a copy of it. Do you want to see it? Come on over, I'll, here, jump in my dunghill. Swim around in it a while. It's a filthier, stinking dunghill than the one you got. Why not be honest? Why not tell the truth? All Christians, get in the habit of coming to church. But the church is going to die. I mean, you know, it's going to die. Never. Never. Absolutely not. No, she is like the teal tree, and the ochre substance is in her. When she has lost her leaves, there is a holy seed in her that is the substance thereof. Jesus was all by himself on a hill far away. Hey. Are you hearing her? But where these are, we don't know. Some are in church. Woe be it to the church that loses its holy seed. Woe be it. So it is that the Holy Seed is the substance of the church. Oh, there's a whole lot of you people listening on the radio are just like the bark. Some of you are like great limbs. And others are like great big pieces of the trunk, and it would be hard to lose any of you. But you know something? We could go on just fine without you. There'd be no serious damage to the tree whatsoever. But there are those that are the substance of the tree. Well, what does substance mean? It means the life, your substance. The inward principle is in the tree which has lost its leaves. and don't go by looks. Didn't the world say that? Can't we learn from, don't go by looks. Oh, that guy looks like a total netwit. Hey, don't let looks deceive you, they say. Isn't that right? You ever been deceived by looks? Have you? Don't let looks deceive you. You see somebody come in and they'll just sort of gawk around.
Yes. I come in to donate some time.
Weighs about 98 pounds. Well, what do you like to do?
Well, I can do about anything. Yep, praise the Lord.
And then he turns his back and everybody goes.
You want those boxes moved from there to there?
Yeah, and they all kind of tee-hee, and there's a 185-pound box here.
Yeah, okay. How high do you want them?
God discerns such men in the church. Can all the members of the church in some degree continue to say, to contribute to the substance? I don't think so. I seriously doubt it. Because one after another fall. And it just makes us to remember there's a whole lot in churches that are not life at all. It's dead wood. Dead wood. Did you ever go out and you trim your tree and you got an oak tree out there and you look up and there's a branch up there and it's dead, got no leaves on it? What do you do with it? And you cut it off. It's dead wood. Want new life? Prune. Cut off all the dead branches. See, that happens inside of you, and that happens to the body of Christ. There's some branches on the vine that tells us in the Bible that are cut off because they draw the sap from the very heart of it. They're only branches bound on by their profession. Pretended graftings that never stuck root into the parent stock. It must be cut off, hewn down, cast in the fiber. The Bible tells us the holy seed is in the church, the substance thereof. That's where it's at. The holy church, right now, I'm talking about the seed, hallelujah. Don't ever worry about the church. The church will be no more. No, the seed is there. It'll always be there. In the end, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. And also note the life of the tree is not determined by the shape of its branches, nor by the way it grows, but by its substance. I have trees. I love trees. I used to have my whole yard full of trees. Isn't that right, Debbie? Trees all around the whole yard. Most beautiful yard in the whole of Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, I think Minneapolis. Really, at one time. And I learned a lot by working with those trees. You can't go by the shape of them. You can't go by the shape of the branches and plum trees I have. Here's one that's all leafy and just so nicely shaped. Never gave out a thing. And here's one with a branch coming straight out of it. It's like a foot coming out of your side. You know what I mean? Bonk! With four, five little toes on the end. But it always bore fruit. It's the substance. What's on the inside. Oh, I don't think that guy is of God at all. That for that person I met the other day, I mean, you don't know what's inside that man. The shape of the church is not its life. The Methodist shape or the Baptist shape or the Lutheran or the Episcopalian shape or the Presbyterian or Disciples Ministry shape, Catholic, Independent, Synagogue, it's not that at all.
It's not whether they have, 16 ounces of doctrine to the pound, or 12, or 8, or 4. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And yet I find life in all the churches in some degree. You can go into what seems to be the most deadest church in all the world. You want to know something? There is always a seed of life in there somewhere. Somewhere. The very best of men are found in the very worst of churches. And that the church is going to survive not because of the doctrine, not because of the rules, not because of how beautiful the building is, but because of the substance. The substance remains. And then again, notice that the substance of the oak tree is a hidden thing. You can't see it. Just like we don't know who carries the carriers of the holy seed. You can't tell who's carrying the holy seed. Tonight I was in a pizza place and I was having something to eat, and there were three girls over there and they were talking so dirty I didn't believe it. I thought, man, are these men and dressed up like women or what? And they were talking about their escapade. Escapades. And then one would top this escapade, one would top it. And I thought, man, you're ruining a good spaghetti dinner here, you know what I mean? And I thought, well, maybe God's got me here listening. And then the Lord spoke to me. He says, well, maybe there's a holy seed here. Let's just wait a minute. And it wasn't too long, and one of the girls evidently got convicted. And she said, well, praise the Lord. What caused her to say that? Huh? Why, it was the holy seed. It was that remnant, that one-tenth within. Someone said, do you want some more coffee, Pastor Paul? And that woke something up, and that substance was stirred in there. She said, and then we went over there, and then she said, praise the Lord, and the conversation was just killed right there. They kind of looked at her, and they kind of looked around like, where did that come from? And she kind of looked around like, did that come out of me? And so you never know, do you? Huh? Inside that imperfect, foul-mouthed, perverted speaking, messed up, messed over, seemingly nothing, come out, praise the Lord. Where'd it come from? She's carrying the holy seed around with her. That's just like you got all kinds of women that have babies. You got tall women, they have babies. You got short ones, they have babies. Right, Ruth? Huh? And you got whores that have babies. You have murderers that have babies. Tramps. And they're all carrying a seed around one. Aren't they? Huh? Aren't they? Well, she's not fit to be a mother. Says who? God says she is. Well, doesn't it say that God, you were formed in your mother's womb? See, you don't know everything, do we? And the one thing we have to come to is being honest, isn't it? Just be honest. Say, God, I have the incorruptible seed inside of me, and honestly, I don't know how you can stand to have the incorruptible seed inside of me, but then that's your business, isn't it? Well, isn't it? Does that irritate you that someone's got the holy seed of God in them and they just don't match up with what you think is perfect? Does it? Well, that's the way it is, though, isn't it? And it's the same way with the natural birth. God, what's wrong with you? She's pregnant. Eeky-poo, 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 poo-poo. Lord. Made a mistake, didn't you? Made it, huh? Right? You don't know what she's carrying.
even judging the baby before it's born. They used to call them bastards years ago and never even gave them a name. And on the birth certificate, there was no name on there. Just put on there, bastard. I wonder how many bastards are running around that think that they belong to somebody. They don't even know who they belong to. Well, come on now. Say amen, somebody. Is that right or is that wrong? It's right, isn't it? See, they don't understand everything about God. But one thing I do understand about God is love, and His grace is going to take you through. By looking at this scripture we're looking at tonight, I'm seeing myself, I'm seeing the whole of the Christian church, I'm seeing the Church of Christ, I'm seeing the house of Israel all this way, just like this. I saw the Lord. I got convicted. Woe is me. Then he gave a confession. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he had a cleansing. And the coal comes off the altar and smacks him on his lips. And then he was consecrated and he said, here I am, Lord, I feel ready to go. Send me. And God says, go. If he stopped to ask all your friends, should I go? Well, they'd stop you right there. No. Got to get consecrated first. Got to be this first and that first and this and so on. Just no, you can't go. You're not ready yet. Well, God says go. God says yes. Oh, my. How many hear this? But notice again that the substance of the yoke is a hidden thing. You can't see it. Like I said, we don't know who's carrying that holy seed. You just don't know. They just pop up everywhere. It might be sitting on a bar stool. I'm not saying that they should be sitting on a bar stool. Now, don't take that wrong, and don't write down notes on me. I'm just saying you don't know. Say amen. I remember when God got on my trail, first when I was 8 years old and was awoken to the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, that I knew of. And then again in 1969, 70, 71, and 72, when I would take those trips out there and God spoke to me and I was just crazy. Because it was working on me. I believe the most of it lies where we can't see it. The holy seed might be some old prayer warrior someplace. Might be some janitor. Might be some young people. It's not always the Mr. Somebody. It's not always Daddy Warbucks. It's not always the one that supports the church the most. Maybe it's a Mr. Nobody that's a pillar of the church. But let me ask you, listening on the radio, do you have the holy seed? Have you begotten the lively hope? Are you saved and filled? Are you? Do you have the substance? That's all you got to have, see. That's as spiritual as you're going to get, is receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't know if you can teach Jesus into people. That's not possible. They got to be born again. They got to have the substance. They got to have the seed. It's just like when you're born in the natural. You got to have the substance and you got to have the seed, and there's got to be a make. There's got to be a coming together. There's got to be a union. There's got to be a communion. How many are hearing this? Maybe you won't even be noticed. Maybe you're in a church, you're not even noticed. Maybe it's because you're too little, but the substance is little. Do you ever open up the grain and it's got that little meat inside, it's got that little gum inside, that barley? It's so small you can't even detect it. That's the life of it. Are you in prayer? Well, then, hey, you're the lively hope of that church. You got the seed in you. But, oh, you proud ones, pull down the thoughts of self. You may give to the church, you may speak very eloquently. You may fool a whole lot of people, but I'll tell you something, you can't fool God. go on off on your own way, and God knows your heart, meaner than hell itself. And yet even you that's listening, maybe you are like that, but yet inside of you there might be that holy seed. You never know. But someone's carrying around with them. You seen that movie, Be Careful How You Entertain a Stranger? You may be entertaining an angel unawares. Wasn't too long ago, I picked up a hitchhiker. This happened to me twice. And a guy gave me a picture. It was a painting. I was looking up the road. There was nobody there. I looked again, and there was somebody there. And I picked this guy up. And as soon as he left, and he had given me this beautiful picture, and he said, "What would you give me for this picture that I painted?" Well, I says, "I don't have very much." And he said, "Would a dollar be too much for a picture like this?" I said, "No, it wouldn't be enough, but that's all I got." He says, "That's all I need." He got out of the car. He gave me the picture. I looked in the rearview mirror. He was nowhere in sight. But I had the picture, and the picture told me something. The picture was from God. Man was carrying the whole... I mean, here was a man sent of the Lord, an angel. Be careful how you entertain. You just don't know everything. God, don't worry about not being noticed. If you're carrying a seed around, that's all you need. Isn't the substance the very greatest of all values? See, you could have a millions and millions of dollars. Isn't that right? If you didn't have the seed to go ahead and have babies, you'd give all that to have that baby. Or if you're hungry and you were going to plant corn and you didn't have the seed, and you, could you talk? Could you pay? Could you buy that life? No, no, you can't. No, you have to have that seed. No, it's because of the holy seed that the church is preserved, and it's because of the holy seed that we're preserved. Without it, the church dies, and without the seed, you die. And if the holy seed doesn't draw from Christians daily, it dies. So the holy seed will be examples, lifting up Jesus only, willing to suffer for Christ's sake. They will stir up the believers, do more for Jesus Christ, and be more like him. Now let me look at the last point before I close here. And this, I believe, is true of every believer. His substance is in him when he has lost his leaves. I've seen people that are totally stripped. You ever seen somebody stripped? And them, they were all on fire for God. You know what I mean? And then they got interested in something else. Or this happened, or a circumstance happened. And they left their leaves, and they got the hang downs. You know what I mean? Their limbs are hanging down, their whole body registers. I'm not. I've lost out with God. Know what I tell them? Man, you look like a mess, but you're carrying around the holy seed. That's all you need. Call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble, and he will answer. Because you're carrying the holy seed. But brother, that's all you really need. That is the life. That is the nuclear of what you really need there. You're carrying the gum of the seed, and that's all you really need. I don't care how you feel right now. You're going through a desolate time. You're going through depression. You're going through all these things. And 90% of you has been destroyed. There's only one-tenth left. That's the humble part of you that God can talk to and get through to at all. And now you're in a position for God to really use you, because God is saying, I have taken everything away from you, and now you're going to have to listen to me. And I'm going to deal with that 10%. The humble part gets dealt with. The poor people get dealt with, don't they? It doesn't give them, okay, you've had enough, now I'll give you $1 million. No, they continue on. But you know something? God is dealing with that one-tenth of us right now. the one-tenth that remains within us, and the one-tenth of the body, and the one-tenth of the whole Christian world right now. There's only one out of ten of the lepers come back and says, thank you, Jesus. It's only one-tenth. Doesn't that encourage you when you get into those kind of dry times? And, you know, oh, God, where are you? I feel so dry. I'm so ugly. I'm such an ugly little Christian. My branches have no leaves. All of my witnesses are laying down there, a big pile of orange, dried up, curled up old leaves, Lord. Look at them. I mean, they're starting to decay. People are looking at them. Look at all my works are laying down there, all them beautiful leaves. God, they covered me so beautifully, and here I am. Oh, Jesus, help me. And the sun starts to come down on you. And it starts to stirring down inside here, and substance starts to stirring, and life starts to stir, and God gets all his little creatures and worms crawling around down inside there, and the rain comes, and the freshness comes, and all of a sudden, and all these cats that thought you was dead, they say, my God, he is alive. What kept that man alive? What kept that woman alive? The substance of the seed. The substance is Jesus Christ. When you're in those kind of times, just start to rejoice and say, I have the substance. I don't care how I naturally, in the natural, feel and all that, and I don't feel very good, and it's terrible and all that, but I'm in the winter of this situation, and now God is dealing with me, but springtime is going to come because there's always a remnant left. There's that 10% that God is going to deal with. Are you in that situation right now today? Don't look off to somebody else. You take a look out there at the world, they totally have nothing. Janine's folks, they live over there in Vegas. Isn't there a bunch of sad people out there? They don't have no substance at all. Can you imagine not having any substance at all? Nothing? But how many here have suffered those dry times? Huh? You haven't? You've never had a dry time? Oh, God. You're never going to have a wet time. You never, Randy and Ruth, have you ever suffered a dry time? Huh? Put your hand up. God can still, he can still see it under the balcony. Sees right through that. He can't see me. I'm under the balcony. He sees. You know how he sees? Because he's on the inside. He's the substance of you. The winter came, you lost all your leaves. But were you dead? No way. Let me encourage you on the radio out there, you are no way dead. No way. In fact, that 10% of you is more alive than that 90% that was waving his great big old leafies around. You know, you can't see their substance for a very good reason. Because your life is hidden, it says, in Christ and God. You saw no signs, but still you had substance. You couldn't discover any kind of life. There was no great feelings, there nothing there. There was no theme, there was no hope. But your hope's eyes, maybe they were even shut, but now they're opened. Well, didn't the Bible say, I will strengthen feeble knees and lift up the hands that hang down? Hallelujah. Oh, God. I started thinking about this night, and I'm closing right now, but we do not see our graces except when they are exercised, and yet they are as much alive when they're not exercised as when they are exercised. Yes, they are. Why? Because it's the grace of God that keeps that seed going. And even if your faith is sleeping tonight, even if you're led to doubt your very existence, it's still there. I think that's the error of many, many young converts. They attempt to live their life by their experiences instead of tracing their life to the precious source, the incorruptible seed. And then after that, we have these wet times and the leaves are out there, say, I'll never, ever have a dry time again. Now I know how to cope with the thing. I'm never going to get down like that again. I'm never going to get depressed like that again. And then you see them around, you see them in another season, and they're all bloodshot in their eyes, and they're walking around. My God, what happened? You're going through a dry time. You're going through a tearing down so the kingdom of God can be built up. God thins it out so that he can train that one-tenth to go out there, that Gideon army to overcome, and then you'll know it's of God within you doing the work, setting up Kingdom Square. I started to look at the incorruptible seed, and I looked at Peter, denied Jesus. Did he have the life seed in him after he denied Jesus? Oh, yes, he did. The cock crowed three times, and all it says, he wept bitterly. Listen, if you're on the radio, you're a backslider. You're backsliding with the incorruptible seed inside you. You can't get rid of the incorruptible seed. You cannot corrupt the incorruptible seed. Can't be corrupted. When you die, that's the part of you that's going to live. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The incorruptible seed. Well, there's a whole lot of suffering going on because of sin. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there isn't suffering. I'm not saying that there's not consequences for every choice that we make. But I'm saying here today, it's the incorruptible seed can never be corrupted. And the incorruptible seed is the one that's going to have life and have life eternal. And that is our blessed hope. It's not a hope that's dim and dark. It's not a faith that you can see. It's something that's hidden. It's a substance within. It's a mystery. The gospel is a mystery. Yet, when you preach it, it sounds too simple for folks. They want to get into, but what if? But what if? That's like when you take a grain of wheat and you put it in the ground. You don't say, but what if? You just know that thing is naturally going to take off. If you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say, let this mountain be removed, and it'll be removed and cast into the sea. God, there's so much to be thankful for tonight that you carry about in your very self the incorruptible seed. It cannot be corrupted. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you? God, I am. If there's one thing I've learned in the whole of my Christian walk, is just be honest with God. Tell God what's in your heart. I talked to a woman not too long ago, and she knew me from the radio, and she knew me from some other things, and she says, I could just tell, I says, I want to pray with you. And I prayed, and I let the Holy Spirit lead, and I says, God, just let this woman have peace. First I said, let's pray. And she right away put her purse down and started unbuttoning her coat and getting ready for some serious prayer. And so that led me to the Holy Spirit. I said, God, lead me in prayer. I says, God, just forgive this woman for what she thinks that she's done. They cannot be forgiven. She commenced to go on and tell this and this and this and this. I says, I'm not your judge. And I says, I'll tell you something else. You're not to be your judge either. But why don't you just tell what's in your heart? You know what? It happened today that you walked out of here a free woman by just telling the truth. And the truth will set you free. Tell the truth. But if I tell the truth, people won't think I'm real holy, and they won't think I'm real righteous. You're not righteous, and you're not holy. Your righteousness is Jesus Christ. And your holiness is the incorruptible seed that lives in your corrupt body. But just learn to tell the truth, will you? Don't worry about what people got to say about you. You tell the truth before God. God will touch your lips and God will consecrate you and God will say, now I want you to go! And people will say, you can't go, you're not ready yet. God tells you to go, you go. Isn't that an encouragement? You sit around and wait for people to tell you to go and try to get you corrected and make you holy. How do you make somebody holy? That's the incorruptible seed that's working on. It's a dynamo. It's the substance inside that's doing the thing. Gives you any life at all. That's the way it is, friend. Be honest with God. God gives you a work to do. Go on out and do it with all your heart, mind, and soul. My God, just do it. I am so encouraged and determined in the ministry of helps. I really am. I mean, I have come against all kinds of garbage trying to do this thing, but I'll tell you what. I'm encouraged. Because you know what? The incorruptible seed is directing me to do what I'm doing. And it says the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. And you know what? My righteousness is Jesus Christ. And my orders are inside that incorruptible seed. Everything that I need in the kingdom of God is in that little seed that's growing on the inside of me, in this dirty old pile of flesh, this dust, this dirt, this vessel, this pot. That incorruptible seed is growing and perfecting right in the middle of all the garbage. It's being perfected and is bearing fruit. Not because of me, but because of the incorruptible seed, and the orders are in that seed. I was outside here, and I'll just close, but I was outside here, and I was looking at all these different kind of old flowers out here, you understand? And that one year, I must have had 100 and some different varieties of flowers, from different friends that knew I loved flowers. They gave me every kind of flower there was, and I put it out there. And I started looking at all these flowers out there. I says, you know something? Every one of these flowers has got a characteristic about them, and they got a plan inside of that seed. And I'm going to talk to this seed here, and now this is just me talking, okay? Now just don't think I'm crazy. Now it says, would you mind being like this cantilily plant over here instead of just being this little daisy or this little moss rose? Would you do that? And you know something? Maybe that flower would like to change, but the plan was already inside of that seed. And the plan is already inside of you. And the plan is the incorruptible seed is going to make you Christ-like, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Isn't that wonderful? The plan and the secret and the mystery of the gospel is inside of you. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Oh, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll be mean, and I want to live, I want to do that. That seed has still got the plan in there, and it's still going to come into conform into the image of Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not. God has got a plan. You can't change it. You can't make a canna lily out of a dandelion and a dandelion out of a canna lily. It's going to be what God has purposed it to be. And when God makes a plan and God purposes in his heart to do a thing, there's nothing you can do about it. That's why the Bible says, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. And the manner that you mete it out, so it will be met out to you. I have a plan for that purpose, for that person. Isn't that wonderful? Well, isn't it? And you know, when people don't say amen and they don't say it's wonderful, it's because they don't believe it. They can believe it for themselves halfway, but they can't believe it for another person. And if they can't believe it for another person, they really can't believe it for themselves. Don't you see what I mean? If you can't believe for another person, you can't love that person if you don't believe for him. Then you can't believe for yourself, and you can't love yourself, and then you can't love God. You just got to believe. You have to believe that the incorruptible seed that's put into you, into your body, is going to manifest the light and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that day when you're lifted from here,
You're going to be made like him because you're going to see him as he really is. And you'll know him because you'll be like him. It takes one to know one. That's the gospel. Isn't that a wonderful message? Now, doesn't that make you want to serve God? See, it's not law and it's not coming down on people that makes them change. It's the incorruptible seed. When they know that, and that there's nothing they can do to change it, they're going to become conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's purposed to be so from the very foundation of the world. Then they say, I want to serve such a God. And then they do it with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul, because there's only 1/10 left of the people that know that. 1/10, and 1/10 of you left on the inside, they cannot argue with God. So that's the message for tonight.